See, but let's take the Kal Vachomer. I think the Kal Vachomer is true, that the Rambam says that you're worse off if you believe that God has emotions than if you believe in Avodah Zorah, because in Avodah Zorah you're making a mistake in God's will. So he's saying that his will is that you should serve these sub-deities. That's his will. But over here he's saying God himself is not what he is. So that's even worse. Right? So it comes out that a person that believes that God has emotions is worse than a person that serves Avodah Zorah. But the guy that serves Avodah Zorah is put to death. And this guy's walking around. And the truth of the matter is not really that simple. Because it says the upper crossing, you kill them. The Enim B'chol Yisrael, you kill them. You see? So you see that it's not that simple. But even that is a strange kind of thing, because it sounds like you kill them, but it's not in the system. You see?
Where are you reading from?
Where I'm reading from?
Oh, that's that last point.
How do you know I'm reading?
Where are you recalling from?
Which part?
The last statement about that you kill the
Rambam, isn't the Rambam in Mamrim? You got to be around there. The Rambam in Mamrim, I think, has it.
Okay, one second.
I'll tell you why it came up, because, it says in the Rambam, right, it says that basically Kol Torah Kula is the contrary of Avodah Zorah.
Right.
So, I was making a whole statement that basically you could summarize everything in terms of that framework, that you have the conflict with the existence of Avodah Zorah.
Right.
So then it came out, well, what about the person who denies the existence of God?
What?
Yeah, that he doesn't keep any of the Torah, and yet he's not going to call.
Yeah, if you can tell me that technically a person denies God is not an old.
Yeah, but what do you say?
How can you tell me the Torah is not for that?
What is my question? Right. How does that work out with the Pesuk of the Rambam?
Emilia Yerucham.
The old days.
And what's the for that generation?
It's funny thing, there's two Rambams, It's funny, you saw that? There's two Gishas in the Rambams?
Yeah, I saw.
I was looking for it, I couldn't find it here. In this Rambam it doesn't happen. That's what it does. It's a very funny thing, and I didn't realize that.
I'm looking at the top of
No, I'm looking at, which one is this? This is the regular one. There's two regular Rambams. It's an interesting thing. You see, you got to check things out. Because the two Rambams are two different source. They must have taken
it.
Yeah, but you don't need Kafach. The old Rambam has it too. The regular...
Two volumes.
But there's two different old Rambams. It's amazing.
The one on your left is really...
That's very funny. I never realized that.
I never realized that.
I mean, because I remember seeing it, and I'm looking here. I can't find it. I'm still looking around. Yeah, here's where it is. Yeah. It says Malchus Nispas Mishukof B'Torah Shabal Peh.
The source
is Per Gimel Lacha Beis. Mori Dino So V'Lo Milan. It means you throw them into the pit and you don't take them out. Barei Kishor Kol Apikursim of Omer Main Torah Mishmaim V'Murmin V'Mosim. Shekol Eilenim B'Chal Yisrov Ein Tzorch Lo Eidim V'Lo Asrov V'Lo Dayonim. El Kol Ahorig Echad Man Oso Mitzvah Gedola V'Heiser Mechshav. So if it doesn't have the whole thing, took it out. I guess they censored it. I guess it was censored.
Does that mean a min too here?
Yeah, apparently. All those things he mentions over there. So the thing is...
It's funny, in the other one in Avodah Zarah, Rebbe, in Beis Hay.
In Avodah Zarah?
Yeah, where he says, Machshava shall be karas l'avodah kavavim.
Yes.
It's funny, there his definition is a guy that is overall gufei Torah l'achet, the same nefesh, b'yad ramah.
Right.
But he doesn't say a min.
No, so that's a different realm.
And over here?
That's a different realm over here. It's a different realm. Over here he's talking about, a maisa. He's doing maisa b'yad ramah.
Isn't this like a guy who doesn't do like Torah Shabbat, he's against Torah Shabbat,
oh. Yeah, I know. So I understand what you're... Yeah, okay, so what's the point? Here he's talking about his belief system.
Right.
His belief system. He has his belief system, so it's more reading Rome Island.
Right.
Okay. But yeah, so the question is... So the question is that, that it doesn't seem like it's so bad for some reason. See, the thing is, the reason why you have this problem, I think, is because we always make a mistake, and we're used to placing tremendous importance on the Asiyas HaMitzvos, which is correct, but the Asiyas HaMitzvos is not really everything. I mean, that's the thing. The Asiyas HaMitzvos are really just there in order to give a person correct ideas. So the all these onshim take place within the framework of Yisroel in terms of Asiyas HaMitzvos. But if a person thwarts the entire goal of the entire Torah, he can't be in the system of onshim. He is not fit in that system. He's like outside the whole system. So that's why the Rambam says that v'chol ha'horeg osam el kol ha'horeg echomen osam mitzvah gedola v'esher mechshol. He's not even included in Beis Din, in all these proceedings, because he's doing something far worse, far greater in terms of worse. You know what I mean? Because what he's doing is, he's denying, that's a different category. A guy that's denying, he's not, there's within the system, and then there's the objective of the system. So you can't treat the objective of the system the way you would the system. It doesn't make any sense logically. You know what I mean? So all the systems of onshim and that you have in the Torah are within the framework of the system. Those are for the people within the system. That's why even a person that gets misa, that's what a chazal say, they make sure to say, yes, Misa, but Yeshua Chavah Mabba. Why do they say that? Because it means he's within the system. So Misa may sound like a terrible thing, but he still has the advantage of being in the system. He's treated as a member of the system. But he who thwarts the entire goal, this system has a goal. And the goal of the system is the correct ideas of God. The person have only the correct ideas. His ideas of God should be only correct ones. All his ideas. Okay? So I say all his ideas because we don't have the ability to have one idea because we're human beings. So that's why you have midos, you have all these different ideas because of our nature. That's what the Rishonim say, explain, that all these Hashem are for us because we aren't on the abstract level to perceive God. So we could say that he is a racham, his actions, we break all our ideas of God are broken up into the way we perceive things because we're limited in our ability. We have to put things in human thought. Okay, but when we say God is a racham, it's because we can't, if we knew God in abstract, in one idea, you wouldn't have to say anything. But since we don't have the ability to do that, so we say, well, let's understand his actions. Can we analyze his actions as far as humanly possible? See actions that emanate from God and quality. So this quality is racham. So we're entitled to have that idea. That's a correct idea of God. Okay? So the whole Torah is really given to us that we should have everything. If you have that, you have everything. You see? But that's why Chazal say that the person that's kofar b'avodah zarah is moda b'chol ha'torah. Means that even if a person just had that one idea correct, he would have the essence of the objective of the kol ha'torah. It doesn't mean, because it sounds crazy, so the guy that's a kofar b'avodah zarah is mekayem kol ha'torah kol. So what does that mean? It sounds like a contradictory statement. He who denies avodah zarah is moda b'chol ha'torah kol. So it sounds like you're giving him everything. Right, so what's up with so I'm covered over the Zoros. Now I'm popped from all the mitzvahs. Now I have to keep paying nothing. What it means is, that is, he who enters into the system is subject to a whole system of tayag mitzvahs. But all these tayag mitzvahs have an objective. And the objective is the correct idea of God. So he who's kofar b'avodah zarah, even though he doesn't keep any of the mitzvahs, it's as if he is moda b'chol ha'torah kula. It means in terms of the objective of the system, he has the schar of moda b'chol ha'torah kula. Doesn't mean he's pata from the system, but there are two different frameworks. There's the system. There's the objective of the system. The objective of the system is a category, and it's the most significant category. So that's why you don't need a bezin to kill a guy that is a cult, because he's outside the system. Thwarting the objective of the entire system. So he can't even enter into the system. Over there you don't say if you kill him is Yeshua Chavah Mabba. A person who's Nidun B'Misa is still considered a virtuous person on some level. He's a shooter, and he's within the system. And this is an alabah. That's the Dvar Melech said. Mam lechver rab meilech. Abol ish ish is misasa b'ma, misasa b'chenek. But yesh lechem alabah. He's still part of the system. He's recognized part of the system. You see? So that means he still has virtue. He still has virtue. But there is an outside realm which is more important than the tayyar. That is the objective of the whole system. So he who thwarts the objective of the whole system has no part in anything. You see, but that's why it's a delicate area, because people we are used to from early youth, we're trained in the philosophy that it's the asiyas and mitzvos is everything. That's not true.
You gotta get those checks.
What's that?
You gotta get the checks.
You gotta get the checks. So you're trained to believe that that is everything. And that I think is a mistake of a lot of people, that they try to take the asiyas and mitzvos separate kind of a phenomenon. So therefore they start thinking, if you be machmer, this is where you get everything. If you be machmer in everything more, that's the way you're going to win the day. You know what I mean? But that's not true. Because you see, the halacha doesn't demand that. You see, the halacha, for instance, halacha is that you have machlokas. So I'm not as mine's my Krishna's. So you can go like a Rabbeinu Tam. I mean, in reality, maybe it's wrong. But the answer is we only have an obligation to the halachic system. Halacha. If this day is at all the way, that's the halacha. That's it. So you see, even the Torah, even in its system, try to make it clear it's not this thing. It's compliance with the system that's the perfection. So that's why, for instance, like on Shalashudas on Shabbos. The Achronim say, Yotze with Mine Tagima. According to Rami Namakayim Shalashudas. All right, so you have Yeshu Milas Mach, you have other days. You're only Mechuyev to keep the Torah according to the Halacha. And according to many days, Yotze, not Mechuyev do more. That's it. Yotze. You know what I mean? All your Mechuyev, yes. I'm not saying a person can't be Machmer. See, where does Machmer come in? Machmer comes in where a person has is beyond that, he has a tremendous avas on mitzvahs. So that's for such a person, a different level. You know what I mean? It's a different kind of thing, you know? But everybody's not mechuyev to do that. And if you do that and you're not on the level, you're just fooling yourself. You know what I mean? That's a different thing. It's a different level. You're not mechuyev to do that. You see, most poskim hold this way. That's where we go. I had a Rambam hold the other day. Try to be mechuyev. That is, when you get into that type of a thing, you're going off the track. You're going off the ground. Moshe has in his introduction, he tries to point that out. That the emes is, according to Z. Otherwise, he couldn't give up sign. The emes is to comply with Allah. They use Allah methodology. It comes out this way. That's it. There are poskim that hold this way. You samach on this poskim. That's enough. Like you do a chometz on Erev Pesach, like the Rav or Gamash. Either way, some on a Rav, some on a Gamash. You know what I mean? It's not the real. What's the real way? The real. There's no real. That is real. You have a poster, you gave a psak, and that's the real. There's no more real than that. That's why these Erev Chaim used to ask Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan to give a psak. Why? You're a poser. You've done a poser. You gave me a psak. I rely on your psak. That's it. I write the line, I rely on Yipsak. Yipsak give me reasons, I'll start thinking on myself. And I go through them to myself, I have to follow my mind so I can't follow Yipsak. But the whole system is geared to take you away from that concept that there's like a magic performance that's going to win you something. You know what I mean? That is really, and that, if you think into that, you just realize Torah Misina. You see, you put them into the abstract level where there's not a system. It's not the Moshe Rabbeinu didn't wear his tefillin, but our tefillin, that's it. The Yotze, because we follow the system, that's it. So the same thing is true. If a person does a chumra, I would say like this. I'd say if a person does a chumra, takes a chumra by himself, he should ask himself that this chumra bring me closer to what? That's what he should ask himself. That's really the question. And if not, it's not for him. That's it. You know, like the Rav one time said about Reb Chaim Brisker, he said, Reb Chaim would say the same Talamata, or he'd say it all the time, Ishmakalan. And then vice versa. Now we need it. So they said, now we switch bracha, right? So Reb Chaim was Mesupik, because do you go by this land, where you are, or do you go by Eretz Yisrael? So he figured out a resolution. Never say it in Baruch Aleinu, always say it in Ishmakalan. So you, so I remember after the Rav said that, he said, but that was an Asik for Reb Chaim. That's what he said. That was for him. He was on that level. You know what I mean? That Chumrah was for him a perfection. A regular person does that, he's just an imitator. He's not really gaining perfection. So a person has to ask himself when he does a Chumrah, is this Chumrah really, is this for me? Is this really bringing me closer to Hashem? Or is it just a machmeher because I have some kind of emotional thing that this is, you know, somehow this is going to get me somewhere. You know what I mean? That is wrong. That is wrong. So, I mean, you really see the way the Torah is structured in a beautiful way to keep a person's eye on the essence. On the essence. And don't lose sight of the essence, because then you start going into primitive modes of behavior, which the Torah is trying to take you away from, you see. But similarly, as a component of that, you have the concept that it's not all asiyas or mitzvahs. There are two realms. There's the perfection. I mean, after all, Avraham Avinu didn't have any mitzvahs. And if you're telling me that he kept all the mitzvahs, I'll say so. So I'll tell you, even if you would say that, there are many, many Gainim and Rishonim that didn't agree with that. So what do they hold? So you just discard them? I mean, you can't, obviously you can't discard them. You have machlokes, but you can't say that one group doesn't know. So what Avraham Avinu, had the whole objective of the Kol HaTorah, but the objective is really the essence. But nevertheless, it doesn't free you from being in, from once you have that objective, now you're going into a different realm, into the system. So there's two realms. So when Chazal say a person's kofar b'avodah zarah, which means a person that denies idolatry, so he's on a very high level. You can't say, it's like he's Mekayim Kol HaTorah. In what sense? In the sense of the objective. In that sense, that's true, and that's a great, that's a great thing. It's an interesting thing. You know, the Rambam, I never understood the Rambam, but it's maybe my answer is not complete at this point. But the Rambam wrote that when he writes about the proof of God, so he says he doesn't speaks in terms of the existence of God. He writes in the Mishnah, he goes, well, when we studied the Rambam and you saw the Torah, we saw that's true. Because he says that is Yisod, Yisod is an Amar HaChachmos. Leidesh Yeshom Matzi Rishon. Right? By Rishon over there, he doesn't mean first, he means primary. A primary existence. Now that fits into Aristotle's definition as well. Because, and the proof is, because he says it's the Yisod HaChachmos. So that would mean that if you don't have this idea that he's talking about, you don't have the Yisod HaChachmos. Now the Rambam writes that Aristotle was the greatest Chacham. And so you see over there, he's not talking about God insofar as being the Borei Olam and Yesh Me'ayin. He's talking about the idea of God's existence. Later he talks about that. When he talks about Avraham Avinu, he said Avraham Avinu discovered the idea that God. And he doesn't say that. So the Rambam writes in the Mishnah, he says, why do I do that? He says, because I don't want the proof of God to be based on creation. He says, God's existence is not based on creation. On an understanding of the universe and seeing that its chachma emanates all over the universe. You know, you see? The Rambam, why the Rambam write that though? But I, if you don't accept the fact that God is the Borei Olam, you really deny Torah. I mean, you deny Torah. So you're not going to get a Togon Olam Abba, you're denying Yesh Me'ayin, right? But I think there's two things. The Rambam is saying that when you understand an idea, you have to understand the idea from where it is expressed, you see. So, if the idea is expressed from a certain vast base, and you take that idea and hinge it on a particular, even though that particular is true, you see, but you're not really getting down to the proof of the idea. You see, so you're lacking. See, the Rambam doesn't write in terms of Chelek and Olam Haba. He writes about the proof of God. The important thing is to have the right idea. So having the right idea is based on how the idea emerges naturally and the force of the idea from where it emanates. So it's true that you have to believe Yesh Me'ayin. That's the Yisod and the Das. But nevertheless, when you present the idea of God's existence, he doesn't present it He doesn't present it from him. Of course, Yesh Mayan would prove it. But that's not really the source, because that would mean if a person denies Yesh Mayan, that he should deny God. And that's not true. Because God is manifest from the universe, whether you have Yesh Mayan or you don't have Yesh Mayan. So the idea has to emerge from its natural source. So that's the Rambam. It's not that the Rambam in the first halacha denies Yesh Mayan. You see. The Rambam is showing you that when you have an idea, the idea has to emerge from where it emerges from. You don't hinge it on something, even though that thing you're hinging it on, that's why he was very much against all those people that proved God's existence from the fact that from Yesh Mayan. Because that's not really the source of the idea. And it would seem, according to the Rambam, that a person that has the idea, even though he doesn't have the idea of Yesh Mayan, but he has the idea of God, he has something, because it says that's mitzvah saseh. So you can't... Everything isn't measured in terms of chelek ma'amar. That's a different system, chelek ma'amar, you see. But a person, insofar as he's an odom, if he partakes of a certain mind with that reality, that's a kiyum. That's a kiyum. Don't worry about olam haba. Worry about what you have to worry about is the correct ideas. Everybody's just worried about themselves. Where am I going to be? You know what I mean? That's not the correct approach. That wasn't the Rambam's approach. Rambam's approach was be in line, that your soul should be in line. Man, see the whole. How do you serve God? Really, according to the Hadith, is a strange answer. How do you serve God? You serve God by serving yourself, basically. Because l'man yitavlach. So it means that you as a creature should be in line with what God designed Adam to be. So insofar as a person, let's say like an Aristotle. So he, but insofar as an Adam, he was on a very high level. So far as an Adam, he was on a very high level. That's not nothing. You can't forget about Schar Vonish. That's not nothing. That's a significant thing. That's a significant... That's one of the things, you know what I mean, that people have time with because they can't get beyond the concept of doing mitzvos and thereby getting your chelek and olam haba. That's all they're concerned about. See? That shouldn't be a concern. A person's concern should be to be an odom hasholem and to be in line with the design that God began with. And that design is where the soul is in tune with certain reality. So in Einstein, for instance, later he did all the Yesh Mayayim, but first he did. But in Einstein, who sees God from the universe, he sees the manifestation of God's existence behind the whole system, that's an Adam HaSholem. That's a perfection. But it's still, oh boy, it's immaterial. It's not a Rasik. You know what I mean? But our ASIC is really to understand what the action is and what the Torah system leads to. So ideas that are correct ideas that put the soul on a proper level, that's really the objective of Kol HaTorah Kulo. So that's why the Rambam in his first halacha did not base the proof of God's existence on Yesh Mayan. Because it's not a proof. That's like, Yale, that was like a move to try to save the religion. You know? But that's not where the idea is noveya from. The idea is noveya from a greater source. Yesh Mayan, not Yesh Mayan, that's not the point. Mind should be in line with where the idea emanates from. That is the Shleimus Adam. That's really, that's the Rambam. But in everything we're discussing, I mean, you see that there are, that it's very significant that a person realize that as important as Asiyas HaMitzvahs are, and no one is downgrading Asiyas HaMitzvahs, but you have to understand what they are and in what framework they exist. Distort it is to distort Kol HaTorah Kulo. I mean, you could almost be a person that's Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kulo. You can't be such a person, Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kulo, all the mitzvahs, and leaves the whole objective. So then he's thwarting everything. That's the Chovos all of Avos, basically. That's the whole Chovos. That's why that introduction of Chavos Avogas is priceless. Because over there he explains that again. It's good to go over it once in a while, give it a long time. But that's what Ram says, that sefer never left his father's desk. It's because look in the Psukim in the Torah. Psukim in the Torah and the Nevi'im. Look at the Nevi'im. Nevi'im aren't Mazir. I'm putting on film, on davening with Kavanah. They're mazir on the fundamentals of the das. That's where the musr is. That's where the real musr is. But if you're a real person musr, all right, say davening long shmas or short shmas. The main thing is that he has the right ideas. I mean, that's where it's at. You know what I mean? So the Nevi'im didn't spend time in Zichru Taras Moshe Avdi, of course. You got to do the mitzvahs. But the emphasis is on Shlemus. That's really what Torah gives a person is perfection. And if a person doesn't get that out of the Torah, no matter what they do, if they learn and they keep the mitzvahs and they do everything, but if the perfection is never attained, then it really, the Torah lost its goal. You're the biggest chacham. Doesn't matter. I mean, if you don't get what the Torah is trying to teach you, that is that a person should live in a certain reality, and that's really what it is, and that's what gives a person his life. And that's the point. If you think it's because you learned a certain amount of blot, that's not what it is either. I thought Gemara says that there were people that were Gedolei Torah and Chachma. And who? Dor Gadomi. Ish Netzar Ol Hashem. Right, Netzar Ol Hashem. Because he missed the point. He missed all points. So a person that learns less. That's like Gemara. So Gemara said in Brachas, I forget who it was. He came to Rabbi Yechonai, so he's crying, right? So what are you crying about? Because if you didn't learn enough Torah, you could always feel you didn't learn enough Torah. Everybody feel, I should have learned more. But that's it. Echad amav, echad amamet. The main thing is that you learn for the right reason. You're pursuing knowledge. You're pursuing Chachmas Hashem and enjoying Chachmas Hashem. And that's really what the whole Torah is about. I mean, that's it. If you have no point. You get another Svara, you get a better Svara. It's all nice. It's all wonderful. But if it fits within the framework, it does something for you. If it doesn't, then you're really missing all. You're missing the whole perfection. I mean, you're missing all perfection. On that score, the philosophers were all 100% right. And I don't think anybody argues with that. And the Torah doesn't. The Torah, you look at the Torah, the Torah places its emphasis on. Most of the Torah, the emphasis on removal of Avodah Zarah and Avodah Hashem. I mean, and having the right ideas. I mean, that's what the emphasis is on. Svarn and Taisvus, I mean, I'm not saying you should miss Svarn and Taisvus. I'm just saying if you miss Svarn and Taisvus, the main thing is that the perfection of the lima, without the perfection, the whole thing is nothing. I mean, that's what a person should really work on. That's what a person should really work on. And on the contrary, if a person wants to be the sharpest guy and that's really his goal and everything, so he's missing the whole thing. I mean, he's missing the whole purpose of it. And the purpose is not to be the sharpest guy. The purpose is to learn, and that brings a person into a different realm and brings him closer. And that's really the purpose. So the purpose of the thing has to be more important than for the thing which was created for the purpose. I mean, the purpose itself is the ultimate objective. So it's not possible that the purpose should be inferior to the thing that was created for the purpose itself. I mean, it's not logical. But because of that, people pick snakes. I'm not saying you shouldn't do chumras. I mean, chumra is very good, but you have to understand what a chumra is. Chumra is something where the person feels that this he's on a certain level, like the Rav said Rabbi Chaim. For Rabbi Chaim, that was a perfection. A regular person does that. It doesn't do him any good. Chaim was on nizer and he's concerned about this. Saint Talmata, yeah. For him, that was good. For us, that's not an answer. Yeah.
These guys are richer than me. So.
That's a different point. But anyways, does that answer your question?
Oh, well, so you were showing the reason why it's a puzzling question. Really, shouldn't be a puzzling question.
No, it shouldn't be a puzzling question.
It should be a pshita.
A pshita. Once you have the two realms.
In other words, that the denial of the existence of God
has to be worse.
Than somebody who's of the Avodah
Zarah. That's right. But I would add one caveat. I would add one thing to that. And that is that if a person believes, the Rambam doesn't have this one, but I would say that if a person believes that God has emotions, I would say that he would be worse than a person could be. I mean, you have to, you know, these things are not simple, because you have to know what's in the person thinking and why he's thinking that way. But, you know what I mean? But it could be worse than a person that doesn't know, an agnostic, for instance.
Well, I'm not talking about...
An agnostic, for instance, says he doesn't know. I mean, there's a, what? You know what I mean?
I'm talking about a true atheist.
A true atheist?
Yeah. Someone that thinks he knows.
Is it possible?
No God.
Does it mean you're
wrong? That's a true atheist, that he knows there's no God, is an evil thing, because there's no position like that.
Right. Totally corrupt.
It's totally... Then a person like that, I would say a person like that, is an oved avodah zarah in the negative. You know, and so one physicist was like that. That was Weinberg. I mean, he was like that. I was very surprised, because here you have a guy that's so sophisticated in physics, Nobel Prize, he was like really backward like a child. Because he said the idea of God has no value to him unless it's a personal thing in his mind. That was the only idea that's worthwhile to him. You know, so the idea of a borei olam, that's nothing. I mean, what, because you can't get anything out of it? Is that a reason to reject? That's not founded. But it shows you that a person can be very sophisticated in terms of science, can be very sophisticated, and yet be very backward when it comes to, our physicists today, as a rule, they despise philosophy. And some of them with justification. I mean, certain philosophy is justifiably, despisable. But many of them, are not on a level at all. That's why you can't be astounded by a great genius that really wins the day. What wins the day is right reason. That's really where it's at. You know, everybody's like genius. Why people like genius? Because genius is like, you know, it's a splendor. You know, it's like greatness. Wow, look at that. You know, that person's unbelievable. But the mind believable may be true, but where's that mind going? You know what I mean? Where is it at? If it's away from reality, so what good is it? The real genius is really correct thinking, correct right reason, correct thinking. That's more important. So a person can be have a simpler mind, not such a genius, but he's more reality than a person whose genius carries him into different areas, but areas which are most basic. He hasn't gotten any wins, so it really doesn't do anything for him.
Thinks he can have an evil gene.
That's something else. Yeah, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind. Yeah, what's the question?
Right. He seems to be leaving it subject to debate. Not like a firm position.
I can't take a particular point in the Mara. Yeah, by the way, there's a ban against the teaching the Mara.
Presently?
No, the Rambam. Oh. Rambam himself.
Maybe new thing happened over yonder, I don't know.
Well, the Ram says that you should not try to explain anything that I say in the Mara that others don't say. You can explain certain things in the Mara. You have to say, you know, where he says this is for everybody, you know. It could be in the book called Mara Nevochim. But that's not what he means. And those things are basic things. He makes a point out of making that clear. Certain areas, you have to be careful, because he says that you won't understand what I mean. I misrepresent my thinking. He says, and people will believe you. This is what I meant. And since it's a wrong idea, you'll be doing me a great injustice. He says, so therefore he says that if you understand, you think you understand what I mean, he says, so be happy with that. But thoughts are, because if it's wrong, then putting me in a position where I'm saying something false, somebody else will see that it's not true. So they may reject the true idea. So it's tough. Some, a lot of those areas in the Mara are very tough. Very tough. Avodah Zarah means, what is Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah is where a person is insecure and they set up before their mind a deity that will satisfy their needs. That's Hayasa lo Adam Elohim Vahim Alo Elohim. That means that a person has natural needs, he has fears, and he has... Therefore, a person sets up in his mind a kind of a God to satisfy these needs. That's not the... That's what the Torah is against. It's a big demand the Torah makes, because that's what religion is. That's a religion. So the thing is, that when I say he's an Oved Avodah Zarah in the negative, it means that he really, the only kind of God he could perceive God. And then he is against it, because see, that kind of God, you have feelings for such a God, you also have feelings against it. So he chose the negative feelings. You know what I mean? Against it. You know what I mean? So really, he's stuck in the same realm, but it's just either positive or negative. So that's why most apikorsim, the fine apikorsim, are really of the vazara. But they're of the vazara in the negative. They really haven't gone beyond that. But at the same time, you know, somebody presented a problem to me recently where, and this is an important thing, maybe I should mention it to you guys, it's significant. And that is, somebody asked me, they said that the person came, they felt very insecure once they heard, you know, learned the Rambam, that God has no emotions, so they felt very insecure, you know. And how do you answer a person like that? You know, because not everybody's on the level that they could level to just say, you know, you see, you're so happy to see that there's a Borei Olam, and this idea is so beautiful and powerful and all-encompassing that this is your life, you know, I mean, it's a big level, you know, for a person to not to be concerned about himself, and that this is the truth, and we listen to the truth because that's the emes, like the Rambam says, and that's all that counts, is the emes. I mean, not too many people that's all that counts. I mean, so you have to be careful. I mean, how, and that's why I say to the guys in the yeshiva, because a lot of times the guys in yeshiva, they gain some knowledge, and then they go out, and they really have this knowledge. And secondly, you can't play with people's emotions. Chazal allowed certain superstitious beliefs among the Amonam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'trunya and b'yosef. God doesn't make unreasonable demands from us. Everybody's on that level. So that's what the Rambam says, that there is such a thing as Oved Meiro. Such a phenomenon. So even though the Rambam says it's for Noshim Ketanim and Chesri Adas, nobody, I mean, everybody says, that's not me, isn't it? No, the person says, maybe that's the level they're on. That situation, so how does a person, so the question was raised to me, so what do you do in that situation? So, Chosvo says, that why does the Torah speak about God in Yumach Mashal, but why did the Torah do that? They didn't look into Chosvo, but I think this is probably what it means. In other words, that a person should realize if a person has a need, an emotional need, he's not on the level of, like the Rambam says, that he's the great thinker, so awed by God's chachma, and the existence of God is such a powerful idea. This is all he needs, this is his whole life. No, that's it. He doesn't need anything more. That's it. You know what I mean? Not everybody's on that level. The person is insecure, and they needs. So there I say, what the Chovos Olvavos is saying is that the person should realize that what he would want emotionally, whatever they are, and whatever he would want God to do to satisfy those needs, he has to realize God is not that, but God satisfies those needs 1,000 times more, infinitely more. The person has a right to Chav Kidruchi. I mean, that's the way the transformation, and it's true, and that's the truth. So it's not that the Torah doesn't offer a person any security. That's not true. It doesn't offer a person security the way he would like to think of it, in particular. And for that kind of security, only amounts to that. And that's awesome, you see. But you have to be able, in general, a little bit higher. And has these needs, he's worried, and he would have what he wants from God. If he would have it, he thinks he'd be satisfied. But the truth is that he has infinitely more. God's chesed is far greater than any chesed that he could imagine. So security, you see, in a sophisticated way, not in the primitive way, but in the real way, that God's the Borei Olam Rachem on his creatures. And therefore he has the greatest security possible, because of the fact that he realized the Chachmas Hashem beyond anything. So that means his chesed is beyond anything. So any chesed that you're looking for is nothing compared to the real chesed. So the truth of the matter is that that should give us a tremendous security. And that's a legitimate, and that's the correct idea. That is true. That is the correct idea. So the Torah doesn't really make a demand that a person abandon all concerns about himself. I mean, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu. It was Seichel Nifla, you know what I mean? That's all he's concerned about. All he thinks about is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all he's concerned about. Nothing else comes into his mind. But That's not, you see, even David HaMelech, I mean, David HaMelech is portrayed in Tillim, you read it this morning, all the things, but what the Tillim teaches you is to take your emotions and realization with an idea that's far more powerful than what the person is looking for on a primitive level. You see, to transform that and to realize that he had a greater security. Couldn't get a greater security. He couldn't be b'yod chafkid ruchi. He couldn't be in the hands of anyone that would give. Otherwise, how fortunate is it that he's in the hands of the Borei Olam. And so there again, you see, this is not simple. It's tricky. You see, you can't. The problem is that when you learn things, so you jump from one side from one side to the other, and you don't get the whole picture. But the whole picture is really is a satisfying picture on an emotional plane as well. Easy, because emotions look for particular things. You're happy if you met somebody that said he's going to take care of you, and you feel great if you had a problem. Oh, he's taking care of me. I mean, in a sense. The truth of the matter is that is nothing. That's the he's nothing. The Borei Olam, you have the Borei Olam. So that's the greatest security. But the Torah doesn't deny the emotions. The Torah recognizes that a person has needs. But the needs should be realistically satisfied. That's really what the Torah, that's what I believe, like I said, I didn't take a look, but that's what I believe. And that's why the Torah speaks in that language. Because it's a very sharp idea, they say. The Torah speaks in that language because the Torah wants the person to be able to do that, and he should do that, and it's rational for him to do that. It's rational for him. Yes, go ahead, Enoch.
Yeah, I was just, but you're not saying that it's not just that, like, I'll tip the hoop and deceive him just because man is temporal and God is, it's a different kind of security, you're saying, isn't it?
Well, of course, you mean qualitatively differentiated.
Yeah, what is man looking for, and why isn't he normally, Biyakov Kid Ruchi, why wouldn't that satisfy him? I'm asking, like, what's the nature of these two securities?
You got to explain your question a little more. You got to bring it out a little more. Maybe somebody here understands more what you're saying. Go ahead.
I think he's saying there's a different, it's a realization on a different level that kind of security.
Okay, I'll give you another example where you have the same exact thing in Yadis. For instance, a person wants the good. A person what he wants. He wants materialism, whatever it is. He wants honor, lovers of money, lovers of power. Whatever it is, a person, if he loves something, wants something, he has to believe that's the good. Okay? Torah says, what does the Torah demand? The Torah doesn't demand that you get rid of all those things. What Torah demands is that you recognize you want the good. But what you should want is the good in abstract. That which will really, if not to be attached to a particular good that has been defined and determined by your emotion. In other words, if a person loves power, so power, he thinks, is the good. But power so there's two things. There's the love of power, the love of money. Behind that, he thinks it's a good, right? So the Torah tells you, ultimately, you're looking for the good. That's what you're looking for. So drop the thing which your emotion has, drop that, okay? And realize that you're after the good. So what you're really after is the true good, okay? So it demands that you drop the particular which your mind has determined through your emotions. So the emotions jump to a conclusion and say, this is it, because you feel it feels good. You see, the Torah doesn't tell you that you're on the wrong track completely. You're after the good. But it says, but your determination of what it is wrong. So you should wish that you attain the true good that will really give you true happiness. You see? That's, the Torah says, remove yourself from the particular, which are your emotions, and look at what you really want. So that's what you really want is the good, l'tov lach. So you're asking God, when you're in the scholar, you're asking God that he should open your eyes and you should have the true good, which is more satisfying than the particular good that you fasten onto because of your emotions. You see? So the Torah demands that you take the thing and put it in its abstract form, which is its true form, and go after it that way. You see? That's, I would say that's very similar to this, that the person is looking for emotional security and going to remain in the world of Avodah Zarah. Okay? Because then he has to manufacture things, you know what I mean? Because he's convinced that these are the things. So the Torah says that you have to rise above that. And you have to realize that there is a true good, and there is a true source for this good, and this source is, you're not forfeiting anything, you're gaining. You're not forfeiting, on the contrary, you're gaining. Because this source is beyond your imaginary deity that you constructed and satisfy this thing that you are convinced you need. Look at it in the abstract and realize that there is the true deity who's beyond all that. And because he's beyond, it may be that his beyond what's your particular, but it grants you true security. Because the security, true God, which is something that is beyond. You know, it's a pasuk in the Torah, you know that, anything. Give me a chumash. Pasuk Torah. Pasuk in the Torah. You know what a pasuk is? Anybody have any idea? The pasuk is in the Torah, it's in the Zos HaBracha, Moshe Rabbeinu said that. Moshe Rabbeinu says, that in the end of the brachas, he said, in the end of the brachas, so he says like this. He says, right before Ma'ona Elokei Kedem, in the Osho Amar, and then he says, Ein Kokel Yeshur, Rochev Shamayim Bezrecho V'gavos HaShvakim. Rashi says, what do you mean Ein Kokel Yeshur? There is Dalacha Yeshurun She'ein Kokel B'chol Elohei Ha'amim V'lo Kitzur Chatzuma, that there is no God among the nations that is as great as our God. What do you mean? There are other gods? I mean, there's no Muvado. There is no other God. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Oz is better? You know what I mean? Oz is better when you're here. I mean, Ain't Og Muvado. There's nothing. Absolutely ephes. So what is he saying? Ain't Kokel Yeshurun. But it's like this. Dalacho Yeshurun she'ain Kokel b'chol Elohei ha'amim v'lo kitzur chatzur. That, it, not in terms of the reality. In terms of the reality, nothing exists besides God. But in what man wants, the satisfaction that he's looking for, you should know that your tzur gives you, the true idea of God gives you greater satisfaction than any other artificial, self-made deity. You see? That's what he says. Why? And the end of the post says, because Rochev Shomayim Bezrecha, Uvagavoso Shchotim. You see, it means Rochev Shomayim Bezrecha means that he is the source of all existence. So he helps you, he manipulates all the laws of nature. And he's above everything. That's the true idea of God. So a person that has the true idea of God has a greater security, because his security is in an idea that is infinitely powerful. Whereas the person who tries to satisfy himself on a primary level, so he made a quick move and he got himself a little satisfaction, but really it's nothing. It really is nothing. So what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, that's what Ein Kokel Yeshurun, that you, Klal Yisrael, are fortunate. Because raise yourself to that level, you'll have a sense of security that no other nation could have. Because you have the true idea of God, the source of all existence, the one who controls nature because he created it. Can there be a greater security than that? So that's really what, that's the pasuk. That's really the pasuk. See, that's the pasuk. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. That's the meaning of the pasuk. So the meaning of the pasuk, that was the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Klal Yisrael. Don't, on the contrary, you think that you're giving up something by giving up a vote as ours, the emotional satisfaction, but on the contrary, you have the greatest security because your idea is the correct idea, and you know that that idea is true. And yet is the most powerful idea. Can't be greater security than that, because that's the ultimate reality. That's the possibility. So that's what Yadis, and that's the bracha, the Moshe Rabbeinu goes on to tell them how fortunate they are, that they have this great bracha, that they have that psychological satisfaction, true psychological. There is true psychological satisfaction. But man has to be willing to go a little bit beyond what the instincts draw immediately, the immediate conclusion on that. You know what I mean? If someone does, then he's fortunate. That's the pshat in the pasuk. Okay, so that idea is that's the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes?
Sorry, I want you at the beginning.
You can't learn Torah for somebody, you know. The concept of the Gemara says that when Chizkiyahu HaMelech died, so they made a kavod for the other. So there is a concept of dedicating a shir. The Suda for the very, very great meeting. Really, you know, the individual that's learned from. It was a Jew that a person could ask him many things in his life. I'm trying to say something, but it's difficult to express, because the nature of a person is that a person looks for things in holistic, concrete terms. It's not the way the world of knowledge works. The world of knowledge is a different world, and a different orbit of function. So you say, who has a chelek malamba, who doesn't have a chelek malamba. That is a study in itself. That's a study. Does it mean that a person can look at that and say, this person definitely has a chelek malamba? The Borei Olam knows. And only the Borei Olam is shokel mitzvahs, and people are a nusim, and there are different circumstances, and the Dayan HaEmes is the only one that could be done. But the study of a chelek in Olam Haba is a generic study in itself. It's not a study that is there for the sole purpose of a person saying, I'm going to open up this book, and now I'm going to know exactly, I do A, B, C, D, and here I am, boom, in Olam Haba. That's really not what a study of why this gives a person a chelek malam abba, and what is the perfection. It's not to be honest. Gemara says, for instance, lulei hamanti liros betuvat Hashem beretz chaim, the Dovid HaMelech could on lulei. Because Dovid HaMelech said, lulei hamanti liros betuvat Hashem beretz chaim, if it weren't for the fact that I knew that there's olam abba, he says, the whole life wouldn't be worth it. Because after all, in this life, a person's pleasures are always intermingled with pain. There's no such thing as pure enjoyment. It's a moment, fleeting moment, but our lives always contain a tremendous element, negative aspects to it. So Dovid HaMelech said that Luli Amanti Lis, if it weren't for the fact that I realized that in this life a person's soul can perfect himself where he has an existence, no existence of the soul, like the Rambam says, that in that existence, if you look back at all the pleasures in this life, you wouldn't even want them, because they're inferior. You wouldn't even be tempted by them. So Dovid HaMelech is saying that that's Chesed Hashem. As much as this life is a struggle, but the fact is that you can perfect your soul. Everybody perfects soul to a certain extent. Even if it's minimal, but it's coming along. So Dovid HaMelech says, Lulei Amanti Liros B'Tuvat Hashem Eretz Chaim, that if it weren't for that, he says, I wouldn't be able to go on. Because sometimes things are so difficult that you feel you just can't. So, but the lule is knuckly. Has dots on it. Why? Because it says, because he really didn't know. So you see that even Dovid HaMelech, what didn't have that is, that what I'm trying to bring out is that a person should not look at these things. Of course a person should think that he's a Ben Olam Haba. Not to look at it, let me explain it. Because Dovid HaMelech wasn't, Dovid HaMelech didn't, the pasuk is there. The pasuk is there, it's not good. But it means that a person should not look happy with a certain kind of security. Again, I mean, this is a hard demand. I mean, it's a hard demand because sometimes, you know, you have a hard demand, but you can't live up to it right away. But you keep it in the back of your mind, and as life goes on, you know, it's something that a person in this life should not be restricted to a certain kind of absolute security. You see, that itself is a from the emotions. I mean, it's a little bit of a higher level thing. You know, it stems from the emotions, the need for absolute security. But certain kind of security that's based on the mind and the intellect, and it's satisfying, although it doesn't contain that absoluteness that you look for when you're younger. But when you get into the world of knowledge, you get a certain, like knowledge itself gives a person a certain security, but it doesn't give that kind of security. But it gives a security of knowledge. So knowledge itself gives man a certain security. Not that kind of security that you look for in absolute terms, you see. So that's why I say that when a person learns about Olam HaBa and Chai Olam HaBa, shouldn't look at it as a simplistic thing. Like this is, here I am and I'm in. You know, I mean, that's big limud, and the limud has to affect you. So that's why I said before that when you study ideas, you got to study each idea in its own realm. Like the Rambam is studying the idea of the proof of the existence of God. It has to be studied in its own realm. Not because you're going to get a chelik in Olam HaBa. It's true that if you don't believe in God, you have a chelik in Olam HaBa. But that's not what it is here. That's not the subject matter. That's a different study. Okay? That's my point. That's a hard point to get across. But that's what I'm trying to say. You know, I mean, it's... Yes?
Possible without the system of mitzvahs?
Yes. Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, that brings back to maybe I'll mention by C.S. Mitzrayim, because Danny Wolf asked a very good question. And I haven't seen anybody, I mean, you know, I'm not a bummer, this must be there. But the question is, why did the Jews have to go down? They have to be enslaved like that. I mean, why? So, and it seems that it's a gzera. It seems it was a gzera. Okay? Now, my son showed me Taisvis. I mean, but let's forget about Taisvis for a time. But the Taisvis seems to say it's a gzera. But let's just look at it. I mean, I don't know if what we say will fit into the Taisvis, so maybe we'll be able to work it out. Maybe we'll work out the Taisvis. What?
You said not.
Ramban says what?
It has to do with the Aver of Avram.
The Aver of Avram?
Yeah.
That what?
That's right.
He went down to
Mitzrayim.
Oh, you mean that Ramban? The Ramban walked because he didn't have Betachon and he left and he went to Mitzrayim. I tell you what Moshe said about that Ramban. That Ramban says you have to erase. He says because it's a very strange Ramban. Because Ramban is criticizing Avram Avinu when Avram Avinu did the rational thing. As a matter of fact, Chazal said that was one of the Nisyonos. That in this laws and so on, that God tells him, go to this land, Vavarecha, Agalashmach, he goes there, all of a sudden there's a Rav, he has to leave. So, say, hey, this is a bad thing, it's a bad omen, I'm wrong. But that was an assign that shouldn't interfere with his, you know, everything's going against him. That was one of the essence of the because that's you have to be on a high level to, not to have that affect you. You know what I mean? Right?
Go there.
Everything's falling apart. I mean, there's a raw, you got to get out of here, you got to leave, you got to go to Mitzrayim. I mean, you're just told to go, there's going to Mitzrayim, you know? There's enough, because the Dvar Hashem is based on a true idea, and these phenomena that are happening, it's Derech HaTeva, that's it. You see? So, God doesn't work that way. God gives you the true idea.
The Nisayim was that he still use rationale and leave.
That he should use it. This and so was on the contrary, that he should use rationality and leave, and that shouldn't interfere with the fact that that was really the best place.
And he passed the test,
because another person would have lost heart. Another person would have lost heart already. We said that's it. There's something wrong. I don't know. There's something which can't be right. But he knew Achmas Hashem, and it didn't affect him. It's not bad things happening. Like what do they say? Bad karma. You know, I mean, he can't be right. That's Derech Avodah Zarah. So Ramban says over there that he shouldn't have left and he shouldn't have had betachon, he shouldn't have stayed in Eretz Yisrael. But there's no source for this. You can't criticize the others. You have to have a source, a chazal or something. I mean, what do you do wrong? So Ramban rejected that Ramban. I mean, the point is that, that's what I try to say in this year. Our system is a system of Tashabalpeh, which means that even though you see a pasuk, and the pasuk says, Vayamar Oma Moshman Abokar Arev, but we don't take that pasuk literally, because we say it's not possible. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is not giving a Torah. He'll answer Shilas, but he's not going to stand there all day and not learn himself. So it must mean something else. So our system is based on a fundamental conviction in Torah, Shabbat, Pen, and in Chochmah. And even if you see a pasuk, you know, it can't be. So Rav Moshe said about this Ramban, can't be. I don't know, could you do it? I mean, it's not, I don't know if I'm wrong. Maybe. Maybe somebody put it in there. I don't know. I mean, things happen. I've seen it happen in other places. You have Tirgum that was put in. And I know about it. I mean, in different places. I pointed it out over the years. Different places. Things, there are religious-minded zealots that feel that they're on a mission from God to make sure that their infantile ideas are spread. And then they'll go to no lengths to have it done. When they see a chazal, or they'll see a Tirgum that goes against them, they'll try to sneak in there and change it. And they've done it. So is this Ramban something that was put in by somebody? Could very well be. But that again is not what Rav Moshe was saying. Rav Moshe is saying that we can't accept this. There's such a thing as, whatever the reason is, it's not acceptable. That's it. Put it out of your mind. If the Ramban really wrote it and he were here, he'd have to explain to us in very clear terms before we'd accept it. He meant something else or whatever. But it's not viable knowledge. That, and we're bound to viable knowledge. That's what we're really tied to. We're tied to Chachma. Nothing else. So that's our Piyad Bar Mila. The Krisus Bris, the main Krisus Bris is in Torah Shabbat Peh. It's in Torah Shabbat Peh. And many Pesukim in the Torah, I mean, many, for all three, Vinta Ashar or Laskanim. There's no Shah, there's no Skanim. We're tied to Torah Shabbat Peh. So we're moved by anything but the Chachma. So, Volsim Hasharos Kanan means that the business Kabeh, we're going to go over there. That's it. Skanim happens to mean even people around. Our system is purely Torah Shabbat. Purely Torah Shabbat.
I think he brings out Mike's Avos Simulgor.
Fine. He brings it up. I'm just telling you. That's what Moshe said about that Ramban. I mean, he said that you can't accept that Ramban. Forget about that Ramban. So the question is, and even that Ramban doesn't explain it. You mean because of Rav Avinu? Because he did that. That's why for hundreds of years in slavery. Does that make any sense to anybody? That's the Bori Olam, the Dayan HaEmes, the Shofet, the Tzaddik, that and Tzaddik V'Yashar. Who is that? Tzaddik V'Yashar. If a regular judge did such a thing, what would you say about it? You'd say he's a Rasha. So how can you ascribe such a thing to the Bori Olam? These answers are not answers that make any sense. So you can't accept things like this. You can't, if you accept them in your mind, over what the Rambam says, the Navi says, that Dibru Hashem Dvarim Pashapaskin Pasuk Yishayo, that they said wrong things about the Bar Elam. That's what the Rambam means, that if you have a wrong idea in those areas, it's very bad. It's very bad. So you can't accept these answers. So the question that arose, So the question, so why did they deserve all this? Now there is a Medrash, and I came across, a Medrash says that the Zalzel and the Bnei HaShvachos, something that were that from the Shvachos, that they, the other ones that were from the Shvachos, they treated them, God said, you'll all be Avon. You'll all go down, so you'll all be Avon, you'll all be equal. But that doesn't explain it either, because why did the Bnei HaShvachos have to go down? Why did they have to suffer? So obviously that's not an explanation, but it's just saying a benefit that came out of it. The benefit that came out of it, that after that there was never any kind of aristocratic superiority, sense of aristocratic superiority after that. But it still doesn't.
Were Bnei Levi, did they?
No, they
were exempt. A little bit of a,
That's right, they kept the, they weren't involved. That's correct, you're right. That's a good quote. But the question that Danny raised was, could you say, perhaps, and this is something which I understand, but I'd like to get a little more precise. For instance, let's say you have a tsunami. So everyone went crazy with a tsunami. God allowed the tsunami to take all those innocent lives. Okay? It's a good question. So, church, he hopes that because he says this is the typical Christian answer, says, test our faith. It's a term on the test of faith. Very selfish answer. Very selfish answer. Everything's for me, and these people die to test my faith. It's very nice. So it's a silly religious answer, but somehow these answers, people don't think into them, and they're accepted. You know, they're accepted because they sound good. You know, they test the faith because the person right away feels guilty faith. They say that's exactly what you're not supposed to do. Okay, he backs off. It's a psychological trick, but the answer that we hold is that these plates are there from Shashus and Abrashus. And it was time, it wasn't a nace, it wasn't Nisei Mitzrayim. Probe where things happen. Every yachid, don't go there because this is the way nate's true, that a person who's acha, so it's like the Ram says, think, but he won't get on the ship. He won't get on the ship. But that's a person that's under Ashgacha. But if you're not under Ashgacha, that's Olam Kemen Hagonai. And if you have Olam, if you didn't have Olam Kemen Hagonai, you wouldn't have any Bechira. Because Olam Kemen Hagonai is a vital element in the realm of our Bechira. And that's the way, I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying that everything has a plural, which we're put into a world where it's cause and effect, and our job is to see what perfection is in Shlemus Adam and go for that. Not to look for miraculous things, and that's why we're doing it, you see. And that's the way the Borei Olam created the world, Sheshis Mei Bereshis, and that's it. But can a person escape if you were on a high level and he was close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I mean, Raglei Chassidav Yishmar. That's true. That is true. But the question was raised that they the same answer with regard to Vavodim Ve'inu Asam. In order for Klal Yisrael to had to go through this process. Because the process of Avdus was one that brought them down to the lowest depths of existence. And they were receptive to Moshe Rabbeinu's role, gave them a certain satisfaction. Yeah, picked up their spirits. Yeah, it was a big, big challenge, because still you're getting beaten by the taskmasters, and you know what I mean? But it does give the person something, it gives them and then out of here, because if a person is on a higher level, so he has Ashgacha, and you're under the Ashgacha, and Moshe Rabbeinu told him that the Gula is coming. The process of Avdus. The Avdus was a part of the process. Necessary component. For forging Am Yisrael. That's true. But the question is, does that answer the question? I say it doesn't. Yeah, what do you say? That's what he's saying. It's there. So now, is he saying that just like there's a gzeira in terms of a tsunami, that there's a gzeira that this is the way the world was created, and is there a place on the globe that's 100% safe? Did God put up signs and say this is safe? There's no, he didn't do it that way. He created a world that is infinite chachma. These things work with the plates and the heat and the magma and the core of the earth and how the whole system works is all unbelievable. And that's chachmas Hashem. And God doesn't put up signs in different parts of the globe. That got me over here in a certain time. That's Olam Kemen Hagonai. That's the way God created the world. But so could you say, that's the question, could you say that it created this earth? It's not the same thing because it's not natural law, but it is a sociological law. It's a sociological law. So could you say that that's why the Avdus came about, in order that you could have Yetzias Mitzrayim, in order that you could have a nation? It was necessary. Just like it's necessary to have a tsunami, because that's the way the earth is structured, and you can't structure any other way. Because that's any change, you're going to be missing. So you're going to lose something else. This is the way it has to be. Can you say that answer?
No, because they didn't bring
will. No, but your question is, could they have come to Bnei Yisrael a different way?
That's correct.
That's really, isn't that your question?
Well,
then you're saying the power would be
exempt. That's part of it.
Mitzrayim would be exempt according to that.
What do you mean?
You You're saying this has to be how the world works. You mean this is something which God desired as part of the world. Now you're bringing human free will into the picture. You're saying that God desired this free will to subjugate the Jew.
Yeah, the other instances. They did too much. Didn't have to call a Ben Ayilo. Didn't have to... Yeah, that's the Ramban. Ramban says that.
Besides that...
He's limiting God.
No, besides the excessive force...
Yeah, why?
But you're saying that this was...
In other words, you limit... You're saying that God... can only, by the way, what was it, what was the Paro's Nesoyim, because it was an interesting thing. Neochon Adar Shosh Yom HaMidbar, V'nizbuch Olah Hashem Elokeinu. What was Paro supposed to do with that one? What was he saying over there? Elokeho Ivrim Nikra Aleinu. Neochon Adar Shosh Yom HaMidbar, V'nizbuch Olah Hashem Elokeinu. What was Paro supposed to, what was he supposed to do in his mind? Supposed to recognize the Amma Nefchar. That's what he's supposed to do. That's what they were saying. They were saying, Avdus, no Avdus, but we ask you to recognize there is an Amma. Recognize that there is an Amma. It has to be an Amma Nifchor. And of course, like the Ramban says many times, Torah doesn't explain all the questions that went on to Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, and Paro. But no doubt, that was one of the things, why there must be an Amma Nifchor. See, and that was Elokeo Ivrim Nikorolino. But he refused to, we refused to accept that idea. But that was the idea of the Amma Nifchor. But the Amma Nifchor, the concept, that's the first real concept. So, the thing is...
He
can
still be
slaves. Yeah, you mean, the Limur, you're right, That's right. So, how's it go again? I've got a Rashi over there, right? And, he first says, Le'edat Yisrael.
Right.
Right, yeah, yeah. Gamis Yisrael. Then they said, okay, that's right. First,
that's what
Shem
told Moshe. That's what
Shem
told Moshe, not what he said.
That's
Moshe
told
And Parah said, Le'edat Yisrael. Le'edat Yisrael. Le'edat Yisrael. See, Le'edat Yisrael is a beautiful statement. I mean, it's a wrong statement, but it's expressed beautifully. Because that's what he meant. Le'edat Yisrael. This is, abstract God, I can't relate to that. It's out of my realm. Well, you're Dr. Yisrael. That's right. It didn't really mean you didn't know the idea. Because he knew the idea. The Egyptians knew that there is one God behind everything. But that's out of my realm. I can't deal with that. Well, you're Dr. Yisrael. That's not my realm. I don't want to know. I have no shech. So, but then he said afterwards, he said, okay, afterwards, I think afterwards, okay, Ivrim, right? So he said, just accept the idea of the God of the Ivrim. Okay, don't be such an abstract philosopher. Just accept the idea of the God of the Ivrim. So that he refused also. Right? That's what he said. It was a double chance, yeah. But that was his opportunity to accept the Amma, the Amma Nifchor. But what I'm saying is that, of the question that we're dealing with before, the concept is that it's like, it reminds me of the Rambam did not accept the idea of, Avraham Avinu, the Ramban accepts it, but they're challenged by the Akedah. And emerged from the Akedah, he emerged as a, Ramban says that he was a different man after the Akedah. Rambam doesn't accept that. Rambam does not accept that God created a world in which the only way to attain perfection is through suffering. And that Avraham Avinu could not perfect himself unless he went through this incident which suffering. Rambam doesn't disagree that things like that happen, and that for an average person, a person goes through an assignment, does perfect him if he properly, it's true. But the Rambam doesn't accept the Avraham Avinu. Rambam didn't need it. God didn't make the world that the greatest man has to suffer in order to... that's lax in the concept of God's perfection. So the Ramban disagrees, but over here, I don't think anybody would disagree. It would seem to me, better to have an amma.
Why is it called the brisbane?
What?
It's in the brisbane of Sarah.
But if it doesn't make any sense, you can't accept it. You can't accept it. Is that justice? Is that justice? I mean that God's will is this be an amma nifchor. And because of that, centuries, that's not a Melech HaMishpat. Melech HaLev Tzadok HaMishpat. What's wrong with that? That's what it seems to me. A tsunami is something different. Tsunami is a natural, cataclysmic occurrence which is based upon... This is something else. You're saying intrinsically, in this plan, that this is the only way this could come about? I mean, and that's why Rebbe said, if only we were in the times of Chas HaShalom, he said. We wouldn't give up one Jewish. not the, that's not, that, that's not, we don't sacrifice people for Mashiach. That's not the Derech Hashanah. So, that's why the Hadassah, I mean, doesn't really make sense in terms of, so you must say, it would seem to me you must say, chait. And what was the chait? You notice that Malam Echoy Ben Esom Mitzuyonim Shom, when Yaakovin went down, so it says, Lo Yorad Yaakovin Lishtakei Rishvim, Hello Logor Shom. Right? Alright, so what happened, and it says, Ki, and that's what it says, Mal Paro, Liros Baritz Bono, Kain, what? So, one time said, what's the proof from there? I mean, that's what they were telling Paro. At least that was the truth. Oh, was the proof. The proof was because Yosef was really the big shalit on the land. Get them in. You know, get them in. I mean, you have these guys, I mean, these brilliant people that come from a different... But you see, they didn't do that. Not giving up. We're not giving up our livelihood. We're not going to become, we're not going to take important positions in the government and become very wealthy and live an honorable lifestyle and really keep our sheep, carrying the sheep, because we have to go back soon. We've got to keep our profession. That, so that shows that lo yorad l'shtakeya. Okay? Bagosham. But what happened to that plan? I don't know. So what happened? So why, after the 7 years of love, so why didn't they? It seems that the plan was dropped. Couldn't leave because of Yosef's position was weakening. If you read between, whatever the reasons were, they in that statement, the brothers weren't in the government, and he says that's when he said, "It's time that this is you know." So legacy that Yosef Hatzadik left. Whatever it was, whatever the reason was, but they stayed there, and it seems they assimilated in Eden, and the Eden became of the Arzar. As a matter of fact, Danny Shovin, the Pasuk, is a parak in Yecheskel that talks about that God sent Nevi'im to Mitzrayim. Navi Yecheskel says, Perakhov. So he sent Nevi'im to the Shov from Avodah Zarah, and they weren't Shov. Avdus came about because of it, and it's a Malach HaMishpat. What is the Yadoa Teda? Kikir Olam. Avodam Vino Asam. What it meant was like this. That Avinu really, that religion was Yikar Sham Avram B'Shem Ad Hashem Kil Olam. The correct idea of God. And what it means to be mispalled to God. And what it means to abandon Avodah Zarah. And to have the true ideas. And it wasn't tired mitzvahs. So Akkar said that your offspring will have the true ideas. Your religion is not going because, as great as it is. Because of that, they went into Avdus. And then from the Avdus came the Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. And with Matan Torah is our only chance. So why do we keep the Torah? We keep the Torah because without it, it's all going to be gone. All the ideas, all the true ideas. It's about the purpose of the Torah, the objective, which is the end. Then the framework, which was created. Come back to that. And really, it's the objective. And Avraham Avinu had the objective. And Avraham Avinu instilled the objective among people. And the followers, like the Rambam says, by the thousands. Where are they today? Gone. Not only are they gone, but we were gone. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says, Malach HaShori said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you saving them? Why are you saving them and destroying them? Halo of Devar Azar, Halo of Devar Azar. What's the difference between them? So you see that they reached the level of Oved Avodah Zarah. But why? Because the dust of Avraham Avinu was unable to survive. They had Bechira. It's true. They had Bechira. But you see that that's why they went into Avdus. And from the Avdus emerged the only thing that we have to survive. And that struggles to this day to survive in very small numbers. I mean, you talk about the world, how many front people have in the world? I mean, how many Shema world? Minuscule. Okay? So, let's survive. The Derech HaTorah Shel Ba'al Peh we have, and the ideas are here now, and we've shown them, it's here. Us of Hashgacha, without Hashgacha wouldn't be here, there's no question about it. that we explained the Gemara Babasa. That after Churban HaBayis, that the Nevora means without that Nevoa and the Chachmei Chachmas HaTorah. If there wasn't the phenomenon of Nevoa, the element of Nevoa in Chachmas HaTorah, if that element wasn't there, so then there would be to carry the people. Rambam wrote that the Ezer Eliki, the lowest level of Nevoah. That's what the Ravid says, right? So the Ravid in Sukkah, I think it is, he says, when he argues, Gala Ruach HaKodesh Beveis Med Rashenu. So he goes, there's an element of Ruach HaKodesh in the Chachmas HaTorah. Not implanted, because the Nevi'im were gone, it's an element of Ruach HaKodesh in Chachmas HaTorah. So we have all these, you can have Rambans and Rashbos and Bali HaMasorah, and it couldn't be done without the element of Ruach HaKodesh. And that's what secured it to this day. So it exists on a very frail kind of a format. It's strong, but it's frail. But that's really what I think the answer is. And by that, it'd be a problem. As gay as a chabad as a vodav inosam. The vodav inosam, but the gamas agoy asher avodah don anochi, v'achrechen yetzer v'chushko. Because there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Avram Avinu to answer, the gamas agoy asher avodah don anochi, v'achrechen yetzer v'chushko, means they'll remove themselves from that state of avdus. The state of avdus won't destroy them. Ordinarily, once the person's the evid, is intrinsically removed from God. That's why you see, you have by the Ozen, Shem Alatzina, that the Dunirza on the Ritzio, on the Evid. Because Avdus is totally debilitating, makes him dependent on man. And that's the Eye Zacharez Lohem, because it's not going to, your plan, your religion is not going to make it. Wind up that there'd be over a variable going to Avdus. But then the Avdus will not be something that will destroy them. And then they'll emerge as
I mean, they will give a Zara.
Everybody.
Right.
So they want an Avdus.
As
a matter that supports it. Mm-hmm. But see, they didn't go with Avdus.
Actually, the way you learn Pasuk, that's what caused the Geri Yezer, I mean...
That's correct. Geri Yezer HaRez L'Olam
was
the cause. That's correct. Geri Yezer HaRez L'Olam. That they didn't really belong there.
And they learned their ways. That's what deserves.
Therefore, that's correct. Very good. That's correct. The Pasuk supports that. Geri Yezer HaRez L'Olam. And once you're Geri in another land, so you naturally try to assimilate with the land. You just want to be part of the culture. And then Vavodah.
Some is a natural result of the lifestyle that Avram set up, because it lacked
Karagmitzos.
How it's like a
Gzera. That's the way I understand the idea of the Gzera. That's what I understand. Gzera means because that's the way it is. I mean, that religion, Kendoso MS, could not really ultimately survive without Torah, without Mitzvahs. That's the way I understand it, Exer. I can't... yes?
What's the combination of what you're pointing out, also the requirement to have a manifest demonstration of control over the laws of nature? In other words, that seems to be in itself a requirement. That seems to be a requirement. That whole the whole sense was also required to demonstrate God's control over nature, to have a monism. But it seems to be that there was a requirement to manifest God's...
Don't do anything. Only the source was that the onesh, they deserved an onesh, but the specific onesh was avdus. That was the gzera. The thing that made them receptive of avdus was the gzera. Not the gzera was that they should be avodim. Do you know what I mean? The gzera was, there's no gzera because they yisurim below chait. So once they were chotim, there were many onshim they could have befallen them. Could have died, could have diseases, many onshim, many things could happen to them. But God, the hashgacha was that the onesh should be avdus. The zera of avdus was in the min ha onesh, not that there was an intrinsic zera that they have to do. See, that was exactly.
It seems like a problem, because you want to separate them from the society.